This is music from David Bowie, his last music. Welcome to The Checkout, a podcast and radio show from WBGO. I'm Simon Rattner. On January 8th, 2016, the legendary British rock star, actor, playwright, the indefinable David Bowie, released his only jazz-inspired album, comprised of only jazz-trained musicians, Black Star. It would also be his final album. He would die 2 days later. On this program, we celebrate the man and that work, the 25th studio recording, with two of Bowie's band members. Donnie McCaslin and Jason Linder celebrate their hero, the great David Bowie, in our studio. That's up next. Hold your bad hands, I cry. This is The Checkout. Thanks for checking in. On January 7th, 2016, saxophonist Donnie McCaslin and pianist Jason Linder visited our studios to celebrate Black Star, David Bowie's latest project. Little did any of us know, including the musicians, David Bowie would be gone only 3 days later. We honor this British creative superforce, nevertheless, in a special duo setting. We begin with this McCaslin composition. It's a tune that David Bowie was secretly listening to, spying on McCaslin and Linder. It's what ultimately influenced Bowie to make Black Star in the first place. Here's Henry. Henry, music by Donnie McCaslin. In studio, but from his album On Green Leaf, Casting for Gravity, featuring Jason Linder on keys. They're in studio today to talk about Black Star, David Bowie's 25th recording, and they are the featured band that inspired the record. So take us to that, I guess, fateful night at Bar 55 in Greenwich Village. David Bowie was spying on you, so did he show up to the club with shades and a wig and a mustache?
No, I actually don't know if I saw. I did see him. I think he had a knit hat on, but he came down with Maria Schneider.
Unannounced.
Well, I knew Maria. Maria had let me know that they were coming down. I don't know if I told you, Jason.
Okay. No. I'm glad you didn't. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Did you notice him? I mean, Bar 55, no. Just for everyone to know, it seats probably a total of 50 people. Maybe 25 is pushing it. So did you notice him? Did you see him?
No.
Yeah, it's an intimate place. I think we were just prepping to record Fast Future, actually, on that gig. So I was, trying to stay focused on that.
Okay, so when you learned that David Bowie was listening, what did you think, Jason? I mean, in the audience, does that scare you as a performer, or did it? I mean, I don't know what goes through your.
It was really exciting. I thought, because we weren't aware, we were just playing the way we normally play. It was a pretty good night. I thought good energy, good crowd,
yeah. Kind of doing what we do.
Doing what we do. So I was like, cool. He heard us in a good light,
Because you were checking him out earlier on Earthling, which is one of his more experimental grooving records. I mean, he's really getting into, electronic music of the day.
Yeah.
Which is a crazy thing. I mean, David Bowie is just so inspirational to all of us because you just never know what he's going to come up with.
I'm surprised critics are talking about a lot of other albums, comparing it to Black Star, but I'm surprised they didn't even mention that one. Mm-hmm. For me, that one's very connected to this. But that's just for me. That's just in my limited perspective.
Now, it seems that all of you on this recording project, I'm talking about Mark Giuliana on drums, Donnie McCaslin on sax, Jason Linder, who also has Now Versus Now. I feel like all of you guys are workshopping this sound individually. Mark Giuliana's got his beat music thing going on. And Tim Lefebvre was playing around with Uri Kane.
Yeah. Yeah, and Tim, I think.
And Rudder.
And he.
And
he
lots of stuff.
He used to do a lot of drum and bass stuff with Zach Danziger. In the 90s.
Wayne Krantz. Jojo Meyer,
exactly. From my perspective, I had done various, acoustic records, and David Binney, who's a great friend of mine and great producer, who's produced most of my records, at one point said to me, "Hey, you should do an electric record." And I think I might have hemmed and hawed a little bit, but then said, "Yeah, okay, I'm going to do it." And he was talking about, and I knew Tim and I knew Mark, and I played with him. I knew Tim for a long time, mostly playing basketball. Actually, we hadn't played so much music together, but. But Dave suggested I use those guys. We made a record called Perpetual Motion, which was with Uri Kane, Adam Benjamin, Tim, and Mark's on half of the record, and Antonio Sanchez is on half the record. So we did that and started touring some. And then I think I've had a long relationship with Jason. I met him at Smalls many years ago. And I think we did a gig with Dave Douglas at Jazz Baltica. And that's when we brought Jason in. I've long loved his writing, his arranging, his playing, his improvising, and just his creative spirit is such a organic force, that I've always really appealed to me. So, and Jason has this history with Mark, with Now Versus Now. It's like Jason and Tim are the DJs of the band. But for me, it's more of a language thing, Simon. It's like, what can I play that's going to feel right with this vibe? And it's been a nice thing for me, a challenge for me, because maybe the language 10 years ago wouldn't fit for me, wouldn't feel right. So it's been great for me to explore different different sounds I can get on the horn, the language, the interaction, how do I get there? And it still continues to be like a really fertile ground. And on our end of it, like we're exploring this electronica improvisational sort of connection. And it is like a different ground. And then all the guys we were mentioning are all in that zone and have influenced us. And then, you know, it kind of came together with David.
Season of Crime, Maria Schneider and her orchestra, featuring David Bowie, a very cool music video of this song as well, with Donnie McCaslin's saxophone being featured.
We had two small group workshop sessions of this tune with David and Tony Visconti and Maria and Mark Giuliano.
Tony Visconti is David Bowie's producer for what? Four decades.
Yeah, they have this tremendous relationship that spanned decades, and that was when I met him initially, and we had these two workshop sessions, and then that track was recorded in one day. And you know, one thing that was really inspiring to me about that is when we did the track, you know, we spent 5 or 6 hours, you know, with the big band, and we got it. And David came out to do a scratch vocal. After sitting there and being totally present and engaged in the whole process, he went out there and laid down a scratch vocal that I think is essentially what you hear on the final track, which was amazing to me. There was no warm-up that I remember. He just kind of walked out there and started singing. And that same dynamic carried over to our sessions where we would, you know, we get there a few minutes early, set up, get our sounds and whatnot, and then we would start. David would come in and we'd start recording, and he just came out and we'd rehearse the song, you know, once or twice, and then we'd start tracking, and he was totally present and totally on point. And then that focus is very inspiring to me.
Well, let's listen to David Bowie's Black Star. This is Black Star, featuring Donnie McCaslin and Jason Linder. Black Star, some of the last music recorded by David Bowie, featuring Donnie McCaslin and Jason Linder. We continue our session with those musicians in just a minute. This is The Checkout. I'm Simon Rettner. On January 7th, 2016, some of David Bowie's last music collaborators visited us in studio to celebrate his latest, and sadly his last, studio recording, Black Star. Most shockingly, none of us knew that Bowie would pass away only 3 days later from cancer. We continue with that session now. Saxophonist Donnie McCaslin, keyboardist Jason Linder. What did you have, like, 9 keyboards set up at this David Bowie session recording Black Star?
I did, actually, besides the grand piano. Yeah.
Is that enough? I mean, did you have enough toys?
Unfortunately, the deeper you get into synths and keyboards, you realize that they all really sound completely different from one another. Whereas I used to just think, it's a synth is a synth. You just need one. And now it's like, they all really sound. If you listen to Aphex Twin Records or someone that deals with analog instruments, every single synth has its own character. Anyway, that's why I brought it. There are just many different options. It's not that I was playing 9 at the same time, obviously, but, you know.
So now you're crafting your new writer for the next 10 years of Jason Linder live performances.
There have already been jokes about that. Yeah. But I was going to say that, this definitely is a movement that jazz and electronica are in this affair right now.
I almost feel like there's 2 stages of this evolution, too, because obviously there's the Bitches Brew and there's the Herbie thing. But then when the Found Sound movement occurred and you the Matt Moses and the people making Bjork records and this sort of sampling organic sounds electronically came into the picture and expanded the whole universe of sound itself, now you're in this second renaissance.
It's something like that, yeah. It has to do with the 70s and when electronic instruments first surfaced, and now it's a different playing field. Now it's a different thing. Now most music that's produced is not with what the types of instruments Donnie and I play. They're on computers and software and stuff like that. So
when are you going to start setting up your laptop on
top of
your Fender?
Yeah, most people don't learn instruments in schools, which is kind of how hip-hop came into play, right? From turntablists and that, you know. So now we're here.
And now even the turntables are a vintage instrument.
Yeah.
Which is kind of crazy to think about, right?
Exactly, yeah. But music prevails, you know, no matter what you have to make music on, that always prevails. And I think, the more used we are getting to electronic devices being used as musical instruments, I think you also realize that they can be organic too, you know, especially, you know, I'm mostly dealing with analog gear instead of software and laptops for now, not that I'm not interested in that, but you know, but just because they feel more like acoustic instruments in a weird sort of way, you know, an analog synth has its own quirkiness and characteristics, and I play a lot of gear from the legendary companies Moog and Moog, it's actually pronounced, and Dave Smith Instruments, who used to be Sequential Circuits and made the Prophet 5, and now has a whole family of Prophet polyphonic analog synthesizers, and they really feel like instruments. Like each one has its own character, just like a saxophone or something, you know. So it's pretty cool.
So what's your relationship to the various keyboards then? Like if you were to make it analogous to your family, what's the piano represent to you versus the Fender versus...
Piano is my mom. You know, piano is like the, you know, the piano gave me life. You know what I mean? Synths, you know, I don't know. Teens, I don't know. I feel younger when I play synths, actually. Somehow. Is that weird? Yeah.
Let's listen to music inspired by David Bowie, played by Donnie McCaslin and Jason Linder. This is an Untitled composition.
Thank you.
Inspired by David Bowie's 25th recording, Black Star, performed by Donnie McCaslin, saxophone, Jason Linder, keys, in our WBGO studio on the checkout. Is jazz going mainstream now? You got the Flying Lotus dropping his records and signing Kamasi Washington, making that this huge hit. Kendrick Lamar's record has these jazz persuasions. David Bowie cites that record as being an inspiration for this project. What's going to happen in the longevity of this statement?
What occurs to me is that the way we play and the interaction that occurs within the band is present on the record. And to me, that's a tremendous thing. And David right there singing, he was tracking live with us, as you know. He was part of that, and the way he was delivering the vocals very passionately was inspiring us. And I think the interplay that we live off of, you know, the improvisation, bouncing off ideas off of each other, that's a big part of what we do. And that's where the magic is sometimes in what we do. And I think he was in there and doing it with us, and it was this collaborative thing, and I think you hear that on the record, and I'm really happy about that. And I think, you know, it's live musicians playing live music, interacting with each other, and that to me is one thing that's very special about this.
Well, maybe that's it. In our overly synthesized and synthetic universe that we currently live in, are we seeking this more loose, organic sound in our music? Shows more humanity, maybe?
You know, David Bowie's been called anti-pop, and that could be a reaction to pop and to overproduction and stuff like that, and, you know, perfection, trying to make perfect things with perfectly in tune singers and perfectly quantized drums and everything. I mean, that's, we've heard a lot of that sound, and maybe it's time we, like, you know,
make jazz popular
basics,
again,
you know?
Right? We're bringing it back to the 40s.
In terms of Black Star, I think one thing that I perceive is you know, Bowie's pushing the envelope. You know, he's going for it. And that was kind of the theme of our time together, you know, was I think you said something like at the very beginning to me, something along the lines of, you know, I don't know what was going to happen with us, but, like, let's have a good time. And he was encouraging us to just go for it.
Think of David Bowie as like a Google of creativity. He's a movie star. He's making musicals. So many studio records that explores so many different genres of music. His music videos are art too. I mean, you look at Black Star, you look at Lazarus, that just dropped, a hospital patient in bed. And he once said that if he were to redo, maybe have another life or start over, he would become a musical theater director or writer, composer. What have you guys learned as artists from observing David Bowie's process in creativity?
You know, when I think about great art, you know, part of it is that attention to detail. I feel like, I don't know if this is true or not, but I had the sense that, you know, we would record during the day and that at night he was listening to what we had done that day and, you know, processing it and combing over it. And then, you know, maybe we would change something the next time we did the song or whatever, but just total engagement in the process. And another thing that I also find inspiring is that while we were making the recording, he was also working on Lazarus at the same time. You talk about, that's some serious multitasking. You know, whenever I've done my own record, I'm always sort of all in on that record.
The music and, video.
Yeah. Oh, no, I mean, I meant actually the play.
The off-Broadway play.
Yeah, that Jason's actually going to go see tonight. And so, you know, spending half the day making a record with us and then also working on the off-Broadway play at another part of the day. I mean, that's something. And I think, you know, to be an artist this day and age or at any time, you got to be all the way in, you know, and I think all of us are. And then again, seeing him at his stage of life, his stage of his career, he's still all the way in it. And I'm thinking, right on, man. I'd like to be that way too.
Jason Linder, Donnie McCaslin join us in studio talking about David Bowie's recording Black Star. Let's go out with Glory.
Great.
Thank you. Glory. That's music in honor of David Bowie, written and performed by Donnie McCaslin. Joining him, Jason Linder on keys. Recorded in our WBGO studio, Black Star is the name of David Bowie's last recording. And also, make sure to check out the Electric Projects by Donnie McCaslin and Jason Linder, Linder's Now vs. Now Earth Analog, and McCaslin's Casting for Gravity and Fast Future on Greenleaf Music.